Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Today will be a little bit of each. A little Bible, a little politics, a little bit about the arts. And where do these three subjects converge? With Robin Hood, none other than Robin Hood and his merry men. Yes, you heard me correctly. Robin Hood. Okay, true confession. Actually, I never cared much for the Robin Hood movies, which is somewhat of an anomaly for me. After all, I love heroic adventure cinema, especially period pieces with clearly drawn lines between good and evil. My heart also holds a special affection for beautiful English countryside. I've never been to England, but every time a movie is actually filmed in England, I absolutely love it. Unless it's Robin Hood, but I do love English countryside and I do love adventure. Yes, all the ingredients are there, but the cake never quite bakes to my satisfaction. With the exception of one Errol Flynn version, which wasn't half bad, yet still wasn't one that I put on my must-see-again list, Robin Hood, for some reason, has never grabbed me. Now, even if it had grabbed me, that horrible Kevin Costner portrayal ran the potential of killing poor Robbie's franchise for good. And I say that as a big Kevin Costner fan. I loved The Untouchables. I loved Dances with Wolves. I loved a lot of the stuff he does. I appreciate that he experiments with many different kinds of roles, many different kinds of movies. It's just that this particular experiment blew up like the project of a kid who got a cool chemistry set in the third grade, but still didn't quite know how to handle it. As for another contemporary Robin Hood incarnation from not too long ago, a while back, but not too long ago, with Russell Crowe and Cate Blanchett, well, artistically, the film was impressive, I must say that. We expected first-rate acting, and we were not disappointed. Unfortunately, the acting is a little too convincing as Robin Hood scolds Richard the Lionhearted for his crusade massacre of the poor Muslims. An extra ironic touch was added in that many of these Muslims were beheaded in the movie by evil Christians. Gotta see the irony of that one. Strong, vibrant pathos is added when Hood describes pity in the eyes of a Muslim woman for the godless murderers of her own people. So much for the eyewitness of Robin Hood, that historically accurate chronicler of history. Now, listen, admittedly, Christians do not have a whole lot to brag about as far as the Crusades are concerned, but those who want to absolve the Muslims of their own massacres are living in a dream world or perhaps a modern university. Truth be told, Christians were taking back lands stolen by the Muslims on their jihads ordered originally by Muhammad himself. Still, having said that, any Christian theology that feels a need to proactively expand and conquer territory for the sake of the gospel as opposed to some other reason, there are reasons to go to war, but expanding by force for the sake of spreading the good news about Jesus as if the gospel depends on that expansion, well, that is in disobedience to the teachings of Jesus, who commanded his followers not to take up the sword for that reason. Muslims, on the other hand, in the Crusades were fighting in obedience to Muhammad. I find that a significant difference. Had 9/11 not motivated Hollywood to lecture us about how peaceful Islam truly is, I wonder if Robin Hood's first-hand account of the Crusades might have been different. But of course, as you know, Robin Hood predates our world of political correctness by many, many centuries. According to the History Channel, which once in a while actually talks about history and does not always talk about alien beings that might have come from outer space 2,000 years ago. According to the History Channel, let me read this little selection here. The subject of ballads, books, and films Robin Hood has proven to be one of popular culture's most enduring folk heroes. Over the course of 700 years, the outlaw from Nottinghamshire who robs from the rich to give to the poor has emerged as one of the most enduring folk heroes in popular culture and one of the most versatile. But how has the legend of Sherwood Forest's merry outlaws evolved over time? And did a real Robin Hood inspire these classic tales? While most contemporary scholars have failed to turn up solid clues, medieval chroniclers took for granted that a historical Robin Hood lived and breathed during the 12th or 13th century. The details of their accounts vary widely, however, placing him in conflicting regions and eras. Not until John Major's History of Greater Britain, 1521, for example, is he depicted as a follower of King Richard, one of his defining characteristics in modern times. I was reading from the History Channel. Okay, so where is my own opinion on this? We don't know if a Robin Hood ever truly existed. We never will. Probably he did, that's my guess, in as much as ballads and legends are generally based upon some original truth, which later got exaggerated. People actually try to make that claim about Jesus. They do it all the time. But in the case of Jesus, there is all kinds of historical evidence to support a real Jesus, just exactly as the Gospels portray him. Much of that evidence we have presented on past radio shows and will continue to present in future radio shows. Back to Robin Hood. Perhaps a more pertinent discussion is not found in history, but rather the fascination people still hold for this time-honored story, as a legend. These days, everybody wants to claim Robin Hood for their cause. I already mentioned the politically correct version that embraces the peaceful Brotherhood of Islam, but far more often, those who believe in the evils of capitalism and mandatory redistribution of wealth are making frequent references to Robin Hood, claiming the hero as one of their own. Nevertheless, legendary as the man may be, we should at least relay the most popular legend accurately. In that legend, Robin Hood did not steal from the rich and give to the poor. He stole from the government after they imposed unfair taxes on their citizens and gave the money back to the people it had been taken from, most of which were poor or at least had become poor after the government got their grimy gopher mitts on them. That doesn't sound like a Marxist Robin Hood to me, but this is often difficult to explain, even to fellow Christians. They will point to early chapters of the book of Acts, showing that the believers shared all of their possessions and took care of each other, which they did. But from such practices, they reason out the idea that our government has a right to be the custodian of such redistribution. Close, my friends, close, but no cigar. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, and I should say I did a whole show about socialism a few weeks ago. You can still go to cgmradio.com/Bob and listen to this, cgmradio.com/Bob. Anyway, for now, I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give generously, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Forgive me for making the obvious obvious, but if the government is going to force your hand, that sounds a lot like compulsion. Yes, God encourages us to be generous, but part of that generosity includes choosing our own recipient. Maybe you know of somebody in need and would rather see your funds float down that familiar river where you see exactly how it is being spent, where you can decide for yourself how much goes to the genuinely broken and how much creates more bureaucracy, the kind of bureaucracy which pumps your tax dollars toward the preservation of a delta smelt fish or a road crossing for salamanders. Both are true stories, but neither is the story we hear when politicians are explaining redistribution of wealth. Instead, they put forth illustrations of weakened people needing human compassion. Of course, naturally, our hearts will always respond to such examples. It's time for our heads to respond as well by asking the question, Could the church do a better job of helping our brothers without the reins of Big Brother? Indeed, they can. For the first 100 years of United States history, the Christian organizations took care of the orphan, the poor, the widow, the elderly. We did it without government welfare agencies. And today, many churches are every bit as generous and innovative, but people have less to contribute to the church today, partly because the biblical narrative has been hijacked and twisted, and partly because the word compassion itself has been hijacked and twisted, and partly because the Robin Hood legend has been hijacked and twisted. Now, Robin and his hoods are robbing us before we can get to the collection plate. Here endeth the lesson. Oh, yes, I should say, just as a postscript, so to speak, I did love the Mel Brooks satire, Robin Hood, Men in Tights. I also loved the Looney Tunes version with Daffy Duck as Robin Hood and Porky Pig as Friar Tuck, either of which would make a better leader than any of the Democratic Socialist egomaniacs trying to run our country right now. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.